Radio Rounds, the podcast series from St. Louis Children's Hospital. Here's Melanie Cole.
Bronchiolitis makes up at least 10% of outpatient pediatric visits, accounting for more office visits than diaper rash, urinary tract infections, or gastroenteritis. This is Radio Rounds with St. Louis Children's Hospital. I'm Melanie Cole, and today we're giving a bronchiolitis update. Joining me is Dr. Kaylee Fisher. She's a Washington University pediatric emergency medicine physician at St. Louis Children's Hospital. Dr. Fisher, it's a pleasure to have you join us for other providers. Tell us, what is bronchiolitis?
Bronchiolitis is a viral upper and lower respiratory illness that generally happens in the fall through the winter. It's characterized by upper respiratory tract infection, cough, congestion, along with some lower respiratory tract inflammation. It generally occurs in children less than 2 years of age.
Well, as any time there's a respiratory illness going on, it can be scary for parents and even for the pediatrician, the healthcare provider. How does this differ from RSV or coronavirus, which we're hearing about, and other respiratory viruses?
So bronchiolitis is a clinical diagnosis that can be caused by any number of different viruses. The most common virus that it's caused by is RSV, which is respiratory syncytial virus, but it can be caused by other viruses such as flu. The coronavirus that we're hearing about now is a type of common cold virus that occurs in the winter in many parts of the world, but the coronavirus that we're hearing about coming out of China is a different strain than the coronavirus that we have here in the United States generally. And unless someone has contact with someone from the Wuhan province in China or someone directly connected to that that's infected in the United States, that it's unlikely that that type of coronavirus would be the cause of any of this illness.
Well, thank you for that. So do we know what causes it, and how often do you see it? As I said in my intro, it's pretty common. Tell me about the prevalence and if we know what causes this virus.
So the most common virus is RSV, as I mentioned previously, and this virus leads to invasion of the epithelial cells in the nasopharynx and lower respiratory tract. This causes sloughing off of cells, which can lead to some turbulent airflow. Clinically, this looks like wheezing and increase in their respiratory rate, along with the cough and congestion that I mentioned previously. It's a very common, as you mentioned, condition, and generally occurs from October to March. Most children with this illness just present as a general cold that lasts usually between 5 and 7 days. Rarely this can lead to a progressive respiratory illness where they have difficulty breathing or poor oxygenation and need to come to the emergency department.
Is it very contagious?
It is, yes. Just like influenza or something like that, it's transmitted through respiratory droplets or by direct contact. The best defense against this is good hygiene with some good hand washing, coughing into your elbow, that kind of thing.
So then tell us about the focus of treatment in young children. How's it treated? Are they mostly symptomatic treatments that you're looking at? What are you doing?
Yeah, so treatment of this is mostly supportive in nature. There's been a lot of literature surrounding possibly using albuterol or racemic epinephrine or hypertonic saline, and all of these have been shown to be ineffective against RSV and not improve rates of things like hospitalization or length of illness or anything like that. I would say that the wheezing can lead to people potentially trying albuterol for these patients. I would caution that unless there is a family history of asthma along with some personal history of ATP of some kind, this is unlikely to help them with their respiratory disease. So it's mostly supportive care. If they are coming to the point of respiratory distress or hypoxia, they need to come to the emergency department possibly for some oxygen or even high flow nasal cannula.
Are you seeing an overabundance of it, cases, anything that's characteristically different this year?
I think that we are seeing this virus a little later than we normally have this year, but in general, the cases that I have seen have been pretty consistent with previous years.
What would you like pediatricians to know if they've got these young children coming into their offices, and you mentioned supportive care, and things you want them to be cautious of. What would you like them to know about that supportive care that they can offer and that they can offer their patients and to give them good counsel?
Yes, of course. So as I said, many of these children come with more mild illness, just cough, congestion, perhaps a little bit of increase in their work of breathing or their respiratory rate. So I generally, when I do see these milder cases in the emergency department as well, I tend to counsel parents on how to recognize when their infant or young toddler is in respiratory distress so that they're able to kind of gauge when it's becoming a problem. RSV and bronchiolitis tend to worsen at night and be better during the day. And so having the parents have the tools to be able to identify when the respiratory distress is at a point where they need to come to the hospital is critical.
So what about hospitalizations? You're not seeing that many of those. Is this mostly managed in the medical home pretty well?
So I think that unfortunately in the emergency department, I am a little skewed because generally by the time they come here, they're slightly more sick. I think the general pediatricians tend to take care of most of bronchiolitis in the office quite well. So by the time they come to the emergency department, many of them do get admitted. But I think in general, in the population of those that get bronchiolitis, generally they're more easily dealt with at home. Now, this changes when, you know, if it's a younger infant, so under 2 months of age, or they were premature, or they have some underlying pulmonary or cardiac disease, that becomes more of an issue and they're more likely to need hospitalization and more likely to get higher support, such as high flow nasal cannula.
Well, thank you for letting other providers know when it's important to refer their patient to the ER for that more specialized treatment. What do we know, Doctor, about a recent interest in the relationship between bronchiolitis in early childhood and later development of asthma? Can you tell us anything about that?
Of course. So there's been a bunch of interesting studies on this. In general, from the studies that I have been reading about, of those children that have had bronchiolitis as a child, about 30% of them end up developing asthma as older children. These children, though, tend to be ones with a family history of asthma or a personal history of A to B, such as eczema. If you look at children with asthma, about 50% of them had bronchiolitis as children. So it's not that every child that has bronchiolitis develops asthma, or even that every asthmatic as a young child gets bronchiolitis. So the relationship between asthma and bronchiolitis is not a direct one and not totally clear, and is probably influenced by genetic and environmental factors.
That's interesting and something to keep note of and to keep up with those studies. Is there anything else you'd like pediatricians to know about bronchiolitis and the various respiratory distress syndromes that we're seeing at this time of the year?
Yes, I would say that bronchiolitis, in distinguishing it from other respiratory illnesses, some of the main features of bronchiolitis as compared to others is that it has lower respiratory tract involvement. But also in thinking about things like that mimic bronchiolitis, like pneumonia and that kind of thing, bronchiolitis tends to be more of a diffuse process. You'll diffusely hear wheezing or diffusely hear crackles. It tends to be more intermittent, so the kid coughs or cries and the wheezing or crackles kind of move around or disappear and come back, as opposed to things like pneumonia, which will have some more focal findings, focal crackles and wheezing that don't tend to move around when they cough or cry. And then the other thing to consider, especially in the younger patients who you think might have bronchiolitis, is early cardiac disease. The children that have congenital heart disease or are having cardiomyopathy can also have diffuse crackles and can have increase in their respiratory rate and look very much like a bronchiolitic patient. So thinking of other secondary signs such as poor weight gain, a distended liver, edema, and those kind of, or difficulty with feeding and those kind of factors, to make sure you're not putting a child into the bronchiolitis category when they really should be more in the cardiac category.
Dr. Fisher, since you mentioned pneumonia before we wrap up, do you feel that other providers might go right to that determination and prescribe an antibiotic? What do you want them to know about that?
Of course. So I think it can be hard sometimes to distinguish between the two of them. But what I would say is that, you know, antibiotics don't work for bronchiolitis. And if you're seeing a more diffuse picture in a younger child like this, that I would be cautious about giving antibiotics as opposed to a clearly more focal finding that seems more like pneumonia. While bronchiolitis can have fever, and so it can look very similar, if you're truly having diffuse findings like this in the winter with a child like this, I would hesitate to give antibiotics.
Do you have any final thoughts, anything you'd like to leave other providers with?
In general, bronchiolitis is incredibly common, and that general pediatricians especially see this a lot. So it's kind of critical to give parents the tools to know when it's coming to the point where the child is going to need some increased support and need to come to the emergency department. And it's also critical to kind of screen those children you think have bronchiolitis for these other things like pneumonia or cardiac disease.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fisher. What great information. So important for other providers to hear, especially at this time of year when we're hearing about so many respiratory illnesses. That concludes this episode of Radio Rounds with St. Louis Children's Hospital. To consult with a specialist at St. Louis Children's Hospital, please call the Children's Direct Physician Access Line at 1-800-678-HELP. To learn more about this and other healthcare topics at St. Louis Children's Hospital, please visit our website at stlouischildrens.org for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other St. Louis Children's Hospital podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole.